Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement. From chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking an organic farming conference and soda. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. She's back, the Donna Brazil of Heritage Radio Network, unofficial special correspondent. Food correspondent of Hot Grease, Melissa Danielle. Melissa is based in Brooklyn and was recently profiled on MyLifeRunsOnFood.com. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's dig in on your special report from NOFA NY Winter Conference. Most importantly, what is NOFA?
NOFA is the Northeast Organic Farming Association.
And they've been around for how long?
That is a very good question.
But they're a membership organization, right?
NOFA's been around for at least 30 years. I'm not really sure how long NOFA New York's been around for, but this is their 29th winter conference.
Oh, well, so we know at least
so
over 30
at least
years.
Over, yeah, 30 years. Yes.
And NOFA's main role is to support organic farmers in New York.
It is an organization. It's a nonprofit organization of the NOFA region wide is a nonprofit organization of nearly 5,000 farmers, gardeners, and consumers working to promote healthy food, organic farming practices, and a cleaner environment.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So you attended the conference. The conference was in...
For NOFA New York in Saratoga Springs.
How far outside of New York City is that?
That, it's about maybe 4.5-5 hours, if not long. It might be longer than... It's at least 5 hours. It's...
What? I thought it was like 2 hours away.
It is. It's outside of Albany. And Albany is at least 3.5 hours. So it's a little further up.
The conference was three days long, and it was in Saratoga Springs.
Yes. There was a Thursday-Friday pre-conference training, but the events officially began, sessions officially began on Friday and went throughout the weekend.
And this conference is held every year. Was this your first time attending?
This is my first time attending NOFA New York's conference.
So what would you say are your top takeaways or highlights from this past weekend?
I love that farming is really about family and that it was really inclusive to families. There was a children's aspect to the conference.
Oh,
so
really?
They had two full days of activities, maybe for Friday as well, but it's definitely Saturday and Sunday was a full day of activities for them so parents could drop off their kids and enjoy the sessions without having to worry about them. I love that it's an opportunity for people across the state to connect with each other, because this might be one of the only times you might actually meet someone from different parts of the state to talk about farming and food and all the connected issues. So that I felt was really good. I think as a first timer, I think it's like, it was just really just great to be welcomed and embraced and supported. And to know that you didn't have to be a farmer to attend. So that was good too.
You were on Twitter. You were like probably the only person on Twitter. You tweeted the entire time.
I wouldn't say I was the only one, but I was the only one who seemed to have the capacity to tweet the entire time. One of the other problems, one of the big issues about the being on social media there was that the hotel's Wi-Fi wasn't the best. So most of the time, the only reason I was able to tweet as much is because I was huddled by the door, like at
but
the back of the room.
But you live tweeted in a lot of sessions that I was able, like I felt like I was there. One of the things you tweeted, and I don't know if this is a takeaway for you or observation, you tweeted that there were a lot of Spanish speaking attendees.
Yes. Which I think NOFA New York was great in recognizing. They actually had select sessions available for interpreting. If you were not fluent in English, you could get an audio guide and have the listen to the what was going on in the conference interpreted in Spanish for you. We do need to recognize the growing immigrant farming population that's expanding New York's farm community. New York City has their new farmer development project, which is part of Council on or Grow NYC, formerly Council on the Environment of New York City. They've been fostering participation of immigrants who have a background in farming to get land in the region and farm, and then as well as other farm worker to farmer spaces are being created upstate. So that was really good for me to see that as well.
What other things did you observe there? And please tell me about Malik Akini's keynote.
What did I observe? I think it was great that NOFA sourced sustainably with their disposables. So they used eco products. They had the vegetable cups and spoons. A lot of the food was donated locally, which was great. What else? I think that the workshops were diverse. There were a lot of people there. A lot of people spanning, and a lot of people from out of New York State. So wow. There were people as far as South America. There were some people from California and Pennsylvania and Vermont, Massachusetts, and points in between. And obviously Detroit with Mr. Yakini. It's very interesting. You know, he gave this very important keynote. And, you know, it's funny, you know, when you like, because I am... I do a lot of work in food justice. I do a lot of work in sustainable food. They don't necessarily intersect. Mm-hmm. And so when they do come together, it can be uncomfortable. So this is a black man who grew up in the black power movement in Detroit, speaking to a room largely white audience, talking about black food issues and civil rights issues. And so a lot of people don't want to hear that, are not ready to hear that, really know how it's connected to food. So that was interesting to observe.
Yeah, Malik Akini, I've talked about him here on Hot Grease before. He is the director, maybe founder of Detroit's Black
Community Food Security Network.
Exactly. And lastly, Ms. Danielle, if you were to send an email to NOFA with recommendations for next year, what would you include in this message?
I feel that NOFA New York should include a discounted trade show fee for food nonprofits. Because there are organizations that are connecting farmers to consumers that are, you know, whether they're farm to school, whether they're CSA or regional distribution or whatever, that are not necessarily agribusinesses. That should have a presence there because people do need to see the connections that organizations are making with farming and community residents. I would like to see more opportunities for them to engage downstate folks that are doing urban ag or supporting the farm to city, farm to table projects that, you know, and to really foster an upstate downstate relationship that supports NOFA New York's goals. And what else? And you know, they have this food justice coordinator, this newly created food justice coordinator position that, you know, they're not really talking about. So, you know, and
yeah, I didn't know they had a food justice coordinator person.
And that needs to, that is something that I hope that they really work on in the coming year to
talk about their food
to talk
justice.
About, right, and to let folks know what people are doing around the state. You know, it's easy for us in New York City to just see, to assume, you know, just see like hunger the way we see it, but rural communities experience hunger very differently, and there are issues across this country, I mean across the state, in both rural and urban counties that are experiencing food insecurity, and it'd be interesting to see how they're addressing that, and how, you know, we can all inform each other. So definitely looking
speaking
for more
of food justice in you. We have about 30 seconds. Where will you be next, Melissa? You're always doing great food activism work in Brooklyn and in New York.
Oh, well, right now I have applied to a couple of fellowship programs, so I'm waiting to hear about that, because that's going to direct what I do, what I'm able to do next year, depending on, you know, my acceptance to that. So you may see me as a Food and Society Fellow. You may see me.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
You may see me as a lead New York participant.
Okay. And you're going to be on the Social Media Week panel.
I am. I'll be moderating this the Food Fighters Social Media Week panel. And I've also just recently relaunched my health coaching practice. So I am growing that now. So,
very good. Yes. Listeners, if you're tuning in, you are just listening to Melissa Danielle. She can be found on melissadanielle.com. Stick with us. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk all things soda. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. He's hung out with Martha Stewart, served all the cool Brooklyn foodies, and was featured on New York Times Magazine's blog. In the studio, we have chef and chief soda maker of P&H Soda, Anton
Nocito.
You know, I never know how to pronounce your name. Anton Nocito. That's what I thought. That's Italian, right?
That's Italian.
Ah, welcome, Anton, to Hot Grease. I'm like happy about this. I love him.
I'm excited. You have been one of my biggest fans.
I like being people's biggest fan from the beginning.
Since the Greenpoint Food Market.
Yes. So we can talk about the Greenpoint Food Market. That wasn't my first question, but hey, let's get into that. I first met you at the Greenpoint Food Market.
Yes, you did.
Tell me, do you remember your first and your last day of the market?
I do. It's kind of scary. First day was weird. My wife Erica talked me into going to this market and selling these things that I was making, and she was selling her cards. And I remember interacting with certain people at that food market. And I remember, I think you may have been at one of the, if not the first one, at least the second one, for sure.
Yeah, I was at the second market. That's where I met you.
Yeah, that's the first, I remember that. There's people like yourself that I remember that stand out in my memory, trust me, to this day. And then the last one, yes, the last one was probably the busiest one for me in the... It was a little crazy that day, but yeah, that was the last market, because after that, New York Times did a big article on it, and it got shut down.
So if you needed to give the skinny, the elevator speech of P&H soda, what would you say to someone?
P&H soda is an all-natural soda syrup. I make a lot of everything that I make is handmade. There's no machines or anything like that. I bottle everything. The syrups myself, they're not a takeaway soda. So it's meant to be mixed with seltzer water at home or in a restaurant like here at Roberta's. And it's made out of all natural products. There's no high fructose corn syrup. It's mostly natural cane sugar and a little bit of agave in some of the flavors. I'm working on a lot more sweeteners as the year goes on. Hopefully I'll have some different stuff in there.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So what other gourmet syrup companies in the U.S. inspire you? Because before you came along, really, I do make my own soda, but sometimes I don't feel like making my own syrup. But when I don't, all I'm thinking is about all the high fructose corn syrup stuff that's out there. Do you have some favorites?
I wouldn't say I have favorites. I've tried a few, and there's not very many syrup companies out there. Mm-mm. There's, I know the Sonoma Syrup Company in California. I've tried some of theirs, and it's good. But once again, a lot of people are putting a lot of preservatives and stuff like that in every drink, not just syrup, but right. in drinks in general. And I think that's kind of a mistake and sort of what's driving me to do what I'm doing.
Speaking of preservatives, I'm curious to hear your opinions or your thoughts about the soda ban that was talked about a few months ago, soda ban and food stamps here in New York City. Bloomberg came up with this idea that they needed to ban soda with food stamps. What do you think about that? What are your opinions?
I think it's ridiculous. How about we ban high fructose corn syrup? How about we ban everything that's bad for you? How about we ban preservatives? Do you really need it in a lot of things that we're doing? I mean, you know, I put citric acid in my syrups, but it wasn't there. I originally didn't use it for preservative. I originally used it for acid to raise the balance of acid to sugar in my syrups. Now it ended up preserving it a little bit, but it is all natural. But they're putting their stuff out there. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to ban soda, you need to ban everything else.
You need
else.
To ban everything that is involved with like...
See, I like you.
Yeah, like, you know, yodels. I love yodels. But they taste like...
Yeah. They're crappy.
Yeah, they're crap.
But so ban that. Put that on the list. I'm glad to see. I'm glad to hear that. So speaking of banning stuff... Well, not banning stuff. What would you say to aspiring foodpreneurs out there? Tips on how to start a business.
I would say if you really want to do it, and it takes some effort, and it takes pretty much being broke for a long time.
Huh.
But if you really want to do it, I would definitely contact Cornell. They have a small department there for small food ventures. I forget exactly the name of the department, but if you contact them, they will send you a CD with every bit of information that you need.
Oh, really?
To get a business, to licensing information, labeling, anything that you, well, not everything, but anything that you need to get started.
Yeah, I feel like my friend Rachel, you may know Rachel. She's starting a business called Brooklyn Bouillon. I feel like they were even helping her with kind of some measurements and some ways to stabilize her product, some scientific food stuff.
They do. They have a food scientist there that works full time. You send your product to them. I didn't think my product would be shelf stable, but when mm-hmm. I sent it to them,
oh wow,
they literally came back. Like they sent me the paperwork back and said it was a shelf stable item, and that automatically I started running out and trying to get it on shelves because of that. Thing. So you don't know what you have, and it's also a good thing because you could be making something that could actually hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So it's good to have it tested.
So I have to ask you this. I want to buy a soda stream.
Okay.
I'm like, I do not need another piece of a juicer, a blender, a waffle maker, but I want to buy a soda stream. Should I buy one?
It's a good choice. It's definitely a good choice.
I need to know the price. Can I use it for other things beyond soda. Yeah,
yes.
Your favorite place sells them.
Who?
Park Slope Food Co-op.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's
I want to get in there.
That's another
sell them.
That's another show, the co-op. So, tell me the prices.
So, I believe they start at like $80, like $79.99 or something like that for the lowest model. And I think they go up to $250, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the most expensive one.
Yeah.
The $79 one works just as good. I think it's just about the way it looks and the shape and what it's made out of.
So how many do you have? Because I know I've seen you everywhere. You have your soda stream and you're making the soda. How many do you own?
We have one at home, and then I own two. One that I take to markets, or one or two that I'll take to markets with me, and carbonate actually on the spot in, you know, off-site at places. And then, I have three altogether right now. But two of them are for work. And one of them my wife uses all the time at home.
So what is she using? And what else is...
Well, she makes seltzer water out of it, straight up. You can... I mean, that's basically what we use it for. And I make... You know, I use it to make the seltzer water for the sodas. But you can carbonate... I mean, I'm sure it's not the best thing for the machine. But you could definitely carbonate... like a clear alcohol if you want to. Any kind of liquid in there.
That's what I was thinking.
Put some gin in there and pump it up, and you got carbonated gin.
So you would say it is a good investment for
It's
folks.
Definitely. I mean, you're saving... Not only are you saving money on buying seltzer, buying water, which is kind of ridiculous, but you're saving money. You're saving the environment. You know, you're not throwing away plastic. Mm-hmm. It's a reusable bottle. I mean, it's great.
I didn't realize the bottle was reusable.
Oh, totally. I don't think you can use another bottle on there. I think you have to use theirs. Huh. That's how they get
Interesting.
You.
Interesting. So speaking of, you talked about Roberta's
a
little bit.
Hopefully
we're here at Roberta's.
We're here at Roberta's, and they got their first delivery from me last Friday.
Aha! Uh-huh. So people can find you in Roberta's. Where else can folks find you if they're in Brooklyn or outside of Brooklyn? We have a lot of listeners that are all over the country.
We sell online. So I sell my syrups, my basic four flavors online right now. Roberta's here sells drinks. Brooklyn Pharmacy and Soda Fountain sells drinks. Brucey on Court Street in Brooklyn sells drinks. The Modern is getting ready.
Wait a minute, that's
in the city.
Yeah, I was about to say that's in Manhattan. Is that a hotel?
No, that's the in the Museum of Modern Art.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they sell drinks. They're going to be selling drinks. They're starting tomorrow. I'm actually going there after the show to work with
them
a little
bit. That's hot. I love it.
Yeah, and then as far as bottles go, you can get them in Choice Green, Green Grape Provisions.
Green Grape. Brooklyn. We love Green Grape. You know I love Green Grape.
Green Grape is great.
Yes.
They're great over there. Brooklyn Kitchen. You can get it in Brooklyn Standard, Eastern District, the kitchen in the store in front of the kitchen that I'm working out of.
What,
there's a list on my website.
Yeah. So what four flavors do you have, and do you rotate in and out? What flavors could we find at those spots you just talked about?
So right now I sell bottled syrups on the shelf. I sell ginger, lime, hibiscus, and cream soda. Some of them will, like some of the ones that make drinks I sell other seasonal flavors. Like, right now I'm offering grapefruit.
Mm.
The Modern has one of their own flavors I made for them. They asked me to make a flavor. So that's, it's called the Mod Pop.
But oh, cool.
Yeah. It's a grapefruit chamomile. So it's pretty awesome.
Cool. If you are just tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we have Antonique.
Nocito.
Nocito. Well, I mean, that's easy. Nocito. In the studio talking P&H syrup and soda. Keep listening. We're going to take a short break and come back with the Hot Five.
Sway. Every body.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. Let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. It's barely 20 degrees in the Big Apple today, but guess what? The Hot Five will keep you warm. I'm hot. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. If you've been listening to Hot Five, we have the owner, founder of PNH Soda. He is going to give us five ideas or recipes or ways to use PNH syrup. So number five on the Hot Five.
I think you could definitely put it over ice cream.
Uh-huh. Yes. I've had it over ice cream.
I think
cream
a little ginger syrup over ice cream.
Yes. Would be bad. So you just drizzle what, like two tables?
Yeah, like maybe two tablespoons over. I mean, obviously, with me, it's all about whatever you want to do with, you know, with my stuff. I mean, I'm open to anything, but I think over ice cream, some of those flavors like lime over strawberry ice cream could be pretty good.
Yeah. I like the ginger, and believe it or not, it's cold outside, but they say this is the time when people eat the most ice cream.
It's kind of weird.
I know. Very. So number four on the soda syrup or syrup Hot Five.
I think the cream syrup would go pretty good over French toast.
Wow. Okay. How is that working? Are you going to put a few tablespoons in the syrup or just...
No, I would just use instead of maple syrup.
Would you put nuts?
You could. I would go... You could, actually.
Yeah. So just maybe take, several tablespoons of the syrup and chop some nuts?
Chop some nuts up. If you wanted to warm it up a little bit in a pot, you could probably bring it up a little bit. I wouldn't go too crazy, but yeah. I would warm it up a little bit and just pour it over the top. French toast, waffles.
Yeah, and the thing is, do I need to add more sugar? Because I will say this. I've had your beverages a million times in your syrup, and it's not like super sweet, but it has enough flavor. No.
I mean, they're not super sweet when they're mixed with water. But, you know, when you straight up, if you just drink it, like, you know, yeah. Taste it straight up, it's definitely.
Okay. So I guess.
You don't need much. It packs a punch.
That's a good idea. The French toast. Okay. Number three on the Hot Five.
Well, cocktails would always be good.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You have any hot cocktail ideas?
I don't have any. Oh, you know, I tell you that, the cream soda or the ginger would go in a great, I mean, it would work well in like an apple, like a spiced apple cider.
Yeah.
Any of them would, actually. I would say the ginger, the cream, the hibiscus would probably go really well. I don't think the lime would go too well, but.
No, I'm trying to see how that hibiscus would taste in apple cider, but
it might taste kind of good because that hibiscus, if you really, like we were talking about this the other day, if you break it down, it tastes a little cherry-ish mm-hmm. when you really like think about it, and I think it would be all right.
So we have French toast, ice cream, adult beverages.
I would say, let me tell you something.
And number two, what's your number two on the Hot Five?
I would say a punch. Punch is big right now, or punch was big, definitely right around the holidays.
Yeah, and I think David Wanrich was on one of the shows.
He did a book.
Yeah, he was on the show Heritage recently talking about punch. Yeah.
Punch would be good, and I think the hibiscus syrup would definitely do really well as a punch. If I think with a little seltzer water, like a punch with seltzer water, and some gin or some. There's a few different
Prosecco.
Alcohols.
I make this
Prosecco
punch.
Prosecco would be perfect.
Put Prosecco, totally. Simple syrup, and like maybe seltzer. Basically, seltzer.
Exactly. I think anything that has a little bubbles to it brings that floralness out of it would work really well.
Yes. And so we're down to number one?
Number one.
Number one on your list. This is not the favorite, but it's just number one.
Well, I don't know. My favorite is to make soda with it.
Oh, Well, that is a favor. Daddy! Bing, bing, bing.
Now, the flavors, I will say, you know, at least my basic flavors, and I'm going to be adding to those basic flavors soon, but my basic flavors, if you mix, like, lime and hibiscus, or ginger and lime, or any of those, actually make a really good soda.
I've had them all, really. I feel like I've had, like...
I feel, really,
you can't go wrong. I mean, there are a lot of soda companies in Brooklyn. I love y'all, but hands down, P&H is my favorite. And I think it's also your spirit. The spirit has a lot to do with
it. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you get it. So
That's the idea. You know, I want people to really get away from the bad sodas.
Yeah.
And drink. And I'm not saying you have to buy mine, or I'm not saying you have to make soda at home if you're at the store. Like, I was just in the store and fresh ginger was there, and there was a few of the all natural soda, like the Gus's soda. Those were all there, and support those guys versus supporting I'm not going to say the names. I'm not going to down anybody, but
I mean, we can say the names.
I think we all know.
Radio network, you know. Yeah, I mean, and here's another thing that people, if you're in New York City, you've taught a few classes on how to make.
A few classes.
You did something at Brooklyn Kitchen.
I do it at Brooklyn Kitchen. That's the main place that I teach classes. Although I may branch out a little bit. I've been asked a couple times, but I do love those guys over at the Brooklyn Kitchen. They've been big supporters of mine.
Yes, so, we love you.
The classes are good.
So if folks wanted to find you online, your website or your blog, you're on social media.
I'm on social media. So on Twitter, I'm on PNH, Soda Co. At Twitter, whatever that Twitter thing is. And then online, I'm www.PNHSodaAndSyrupInc.com.
Cool. Thank you. Tell your wife hello. I love her.
She has a great
stationery company.
She does.
Yeah.
Pumpkin and Honey Bunny. That's where the P&H comes from.
Exactly. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that.
Yes. So tell her hello and thank you for coming on Hot Grease. I know
you.
I'm going to be.
Thank you for
I can't
having
wait
me.
Till they put the tap here.
I think they're waiting on. They may use it depends on what happens, but they may end up using a soda stream for a little while to carbonate until they get their tap in
place. I'm looking at the manager right now.
I just saw him.
Yeah. So come out to Roberta's if you're in Brooklyn and get some P&H soda. See you soon on the show. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you again for tuning in to Hot Grease. You can join me live every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.